Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to today's episode of Financial Lifeguard on Duty. I am your host and financial lifeguard, Christine Lucan. I help people who feel like they are drowning financially get to a safe place and catch their breath, and then I teach them how to swim. Even if you're an experienced swimmer, it's still good to have a financial lifeguard on duty just in case the water gets rough. Happy Valentine's Day! Today's episode is love and money. Money can be a source of contention in relationships, but it doesn't have to be that way. Many marriages break up over money issues, and it's usually due to a lack of communication. The good news is that couples who regularly discuss their finance with each other and have a plan usually have very strong marriages. I'll talk about ways to take off the boxing gloves and get on the same page with your significant other when it comes to personal finance. The most important thing when it comes to money in relationships is to communicate early and often about money. Now, the best time to get financially naked with someone is before you get married and combine your finances. It's amazing to me how many couples who are dating and engaged who don't have honest discussions about money, about how much debt they have, philosophies about budgeting and spending, investing. And it's very important to talk about these things before you get into a very committed relationship with somebody else, because if you're not on the same page with your spouse on these things, it can really just tear things apart. And we've all seen that. I highly recommend premarital financial counseling for engaged couples because it can help navigate differences and also help you figure out the best way to combine your finances and create a budget together. You know, one of the things that I'm always big about is making sure you do a budget every month. And not just doing the budget every month, but having a monthly budget meeting with your spouse. So typically, one spouse is usually better with numbers or spreadsheets or keeps up with the budget online with the banking software. And typically, one person is kind of in charge of doing that. But it's very important that even if one person is handling the majority of the day-to-day activity, that the two of you sit down on a monthly basis to talk about what's going on. So this monthly budget meeting is the perfect time to do that because you're talking about different priorities, what things you want to do, making sure you're not getting too off track, and also making sure that the person that's handling the day-to-day finances isn't being overburdened, because handling the finances is something that has to be a joint responsibility. Now, when you first start budgeting, the budget committee meeting is going to be a bigger deal. It's going to take longer. But the more you budget month in and month out, you're going to get to the point to where your monthly budget meeting might be 5 or 10 minutes long. You know, my husband and I have been doing this budgeting thing for a long time now. And, you know, typically it's just a few minutes every month to say, hey, you know, we've got the annual insurance premium coming up and we need to transfer some money to savings. You know, we've pretty much got our monthly expenses on a nice even flow. So we really don't have a ton of major things to talk about at this meeting, so it's pretty short. But when you first start doing it, it does take some time, but it's worth it to do that. Now, what if you say, well, we've been married for 25 years and we've never had a budget committee meeting? Well, you know what? It's never too late to start. And if you are in the greater Cincinnati, northern Kentucky area, you are actually in luck because I am holding a budgeting basics class coming Thursday, February 19th at 6:30 p.m. So if you want to register for that class, please go to my website, which is christinelukin.com, and click on the events tab. You know, sitting through that class, you know, make sure you bring your spouse to the class so that you're both hearing the same thing, and that's really going to help you get started on the road to budgeting and communicating better about your money. Or if you've just kind of fallen off the wagon with this and feel like things are kind of getting bumpy, this is really a great tool. The other thing that's very important is not to keep secrets. Financial infidelity will kill a relationship just as quickly as sexual infidelity. So what do I mean by financial infidelity? What I mean is keeping big secrets from your spouse. If you have a secret credit card that your spouse doesn't know that you have, if you are hiding shopping purchases, leaving them out in your trunk, waiting until husband or wife leaves before you bring them in the house, secret gambling debts, even on the flip side, secret savings accounts. You know, I've known people who say, you know, my husband or wife, if they know we have any money, they spend it, so I hide the savings over here. Here's the thing. Keeping big secrets from your spouse, whether you're hiding something negative, like credit card debt, or you're hiding something what we would normally think of as positive, such as investments or savings accounts, this is a sure sign that something is very wrong and there's a breakdown of trust. And there is probably a need for some type of marital or financial counseling around these issues, because there's a reason why one of the spouses is keeping a secret. So what you need to do is you need to come clean. Now, if you're afraid to do that, the help of a counselor or a therapist, and, you know, come clean and make a plan to rebuild the trust. Because having secrets in a marriage, whether it's money or otherwise, it's a sure sign for disaster. Now, one thing that people talk to me about and ask me on a regular basis is it okay to keep some of your money separate? First of all, if you are not married, all of your money should be separate. I do not condone combining your money before you get married. I have seen situations where couples are engaged and one partner, say, helps the other one to pay off a student loan or pay off a car, and then all of a sudden that relationship dissolves, and you know that person is never recompensed for that money that they've put in there. So I do not recommend combining money until you're married. Now, if you are married, I believe that the vast majority of your money should be in joint accounts with equal access. You know, it's okay to have some separate money for fun or spending money, but both of your names should be on all of the accounts. So, for example, my husband and I have, we each have separate checking accounts for our own spending money. However, even though I'm primarily accessing my checking account and he's primarily accessing his checking account for our spending and fund money, both of our names are on both accounts. And this is very important in case of death or disability, that the other spouse should be able to access that money. So, you know, a lot of times people say, well, you know, if my name's not on there or her name's not on there, it's not a big deal because if something happens and she dies, you know, I'm still going to inherit that account. But a lot of people don't think about, well, what if they're in the hospital and they're disabled? Then those rights don't kick in. So it's very important you put both money, you know, both names on all of the accounts. You know, I have had some situations where one partner in the relationship knows that they would be tempted to overspend, and they fully buy into the idea that they don't want to have easy access to the money. And that's okay. You just have to know what works for you. However, both names should still be on the account, even if, you know, one spouse doesn't have a debit card to the account, that still, if there was an emergency, they should be able to access those funds. Now, word of caution when it comes to love and money. If your spouse, partner, boyfriend, or girlfriend is attempting to control you with money, there is a problem. If your spouse, partner, boyfriend, or girlfriend is attempting to persuade you to spend money unwisely or go into debt against your better judgment, there is a problem. I've experienced this myself. A lot of you know my story. If you want to listen to that, it's on the very first episode of Financial Lifeguard on Duty. But sometimes there can be a lot of dysfunction, and I have seen people who are in controlling or abusive relationships where, one partner will use money to try and control and punish the other person. And there's absolutely something wrong with that. And, there's no shame in seeking the help of a good counselor or psychologist to work through those issues. And I strongly recommend that. So, I've got a lot more things to say about love and money, but I just wanted to touch on the most important things. So, and those are communicating early and often about money and not keeping secrets. Those are really the very big things that I want you to remember. In my closing minutes, I do want to answer a question that was sent in. So here's what this listener asks. When it comes to some major purchases, we don't always agree and our priorities seem to differ. A recent example is when my husband wanted to upgrade our surround system speakers, but I wanted to get new leather couches. How do we resolve our priority differences? We could do both, but it would dip into our savings. So this is one of the reasons why meeting on a monthly basis about the budget is very important, because it's going to help you to set long-term goals for things that you're saving for. Now, I would say first off, if you're trying to choose between two different things, one person, the husband's championing the speakers, the wife's championing the couches, look at it, step back and look at it objectively. Is one of the two needed more, or has a higher priority because you really need that? So say, for example, that the speakers keep cutting out and, it's not a pleasant experience when you're watching TV or listening to the stereo because it's poor quality and the speakers keep cutting out. If it's something like that, then that very clearly will say, this is more of a priority because even though, yes, we'd like new couches, there's really nothing wrong per se with them. Or, if the couches are clearly worn out and we just want better speakers, then maybe we give priority to the couches. So, if neither is that way, then, it's really just a toss-up. But, the one thing that comes to mind is Romans 12:10, which essentially says love prefers others. And, sometimes we do have to make concessions for our spouse and let them have their way sometimes, which is hard. So, there's no clear-cut answer for that. I would just encourage you guys to talk it out. And, if you're not going to do one right away, set a deadline for when you're going to do the next one. So if we go ahead and get the speakers, then let's put a plan together to save up and get the couches within a reasonable period of time so that both people feel like both of their concerns are important and are valued. So that is all the time we have today. So if you are interested in the budgeting class, please go to my website, ChristineLucan.com, under the events tab, and you can register for that next week. This is Christine Lucan, your financial lifeguard, signing off. Be sure to tune in next week when I will discuss four great things to do with your tax refund. Have a great day.